Welcome to Intrinsically Motivated, where we're having conversations with experts in the field of addiction, recovery, and those who've been affected by it as we seek to mobilize the church to replace addiction and mental health challenges with flourishing. I'm Tanner Clements, and I'm the Media and Training Director for Uplift Appalachia. So, I mean, a lot has changed since we started recording this podcast. We recorded, just to kind of let people kind of behind the scenes, that first episode that we launched where we were just talking about what was Uplift and how did we get here and all that. We probably recorded that a year and a half or 2 years ago at this point. I mean, it's been a while. We had just found out that we were going to get some funding, I think, from Ballot at the time, or we were in the process of trying to work, I think, a little bit of that out. And so we were just kind of figuring things out. Like, we have this idea, we would love to do this podcast. We didn't know what it was going to look like other than we wanted to talk to people that either had been affected by addiction or knew some things about how our bodies work and that sort of thing. We didn't know what it was going to be like. We didn't know when it was going to start, you know, being released or anything like that. And we recorded that episode just kind of talking broadly. And then, you know, our mission has stayed the same, but some of the details have changed.
Right. It was more of a who are we and what are we doing and what is the plan, but we hadn't started enacting the plan yet. So I think that the fact that we are way down the road now and we have tried things, not done so well at some things, found some things that work well, and really found our niche, I think.
Yeah, I was saying, just finding out where we fit and where are the gaps, right? I mean, if we're trying to, you know, help marry addiction, recovery, community organizations, and a church that we think ought to want to serve in all of those areas, you know, like, what's the best way for us to help interact with all of these places that we found ourselves connected along the way, right? You know, so, like, and I think the more and more we've seen ourselves trying to help connect, it really has been that we know both sides of this conversation. We know the people in recovery. We know the people that are helping people in recovery. And we know a group of people who have all the answers to people who are in recovery and who are helping people. Like, that have all these hopeful, you know, perfect answers. And we can kind of walk between all of those worlds and communicate between all those worlds.
Right. It's been like we're standing at this intersection as interpreters. And it happened, but we didn't realize it was such a need, and we didn't realize to what extent we were the ones that had that and that was a valuable service. We had to do it, but it ended up being, that is actually a service that we can offer, is being able to interpret church language to scientists, scientist language to churches, helping professions to people needing recovery or in recovery, and be sort of at the center of the web or the hub.
Yeah. And I mean, and we've obviously learned a lot along the way. You talk about there's some things that we didn't do well. There's some things that we did do well. But I mean, I think even just learning how to take all of these things that all these different experts that we know or have become kind of along the way as we've studied some of these things, you know, just being able to effectively use it. Not just, I mean, we continue to be passionate, but I think we know kind of how to channel that passion into more efficient action and that sort of thing, and where to start with certain churches and how unique each situation is going to be. I think that's probably the thing that to me has stood out the most, is like every situation is unique. Just like if somebody's in recovery, the thing that might help somebody find their way out of addiction is going to look a little bit different for every single person that you build a relationship with. There are going to be some kind of key themes and stuff, but it's the same thing with trying to motivate the church. It really has been, every situation's unique because everybody is coming from different, they have different experiences, they've gone through different things, they have different things that motivate them, different actions and things that have seemed easier for them to get involved in, things that are harder, things that people have gotten excited about and then seen it fizzle. And it's like, we kind of have had to learn along the way, and I think we've gotten pretty good at kind of responding in a more effective way.
And I think bringing that up, because I think when we started Uplift Appalachia, I think we saw, oh, we can just do it this way and tell people this, and it will be very efficient and usable and all of that. And the degree to which we have had to individualize. And the thing is, we started out saying you really need to get to know the individual, but we weren't using that on a macro level with each church with or churches, with each organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's very hard, even when you look at funders, it's hard to say they want to know, well, how many people will be housed or how many people will be transported or how many people will be in recovery and in mass, you know, and it's like, it's not like you just put them on a conveyor belt and it happens. And so I think that has been a challenge, even with having people fund the effort. It's like, well, what are you going to do? And we look at them and say, we don't know exactly yet. Trust us, which is a very hard thing to do.
The first few years was just, we're trying to tell you, but until we see it happen, we can't give you trackable data. And that's what everybody's looking for, trackable data, that sort of thing. And we couldn't really do that. You know, and I think one of the other things that you were saying was that, you know, every situation's unique. And I think, but we also thought we were going to come in and say, obviously the church is going to want to help people. So we're going to give them some practical things. And honestly, and unfortunately along the way we found, it's not even so much the practical things that have been hard as much as just convincing the church that actively pursuing people who are in addiction or trying to find recovery is going to need to be a priority. Like even just the getting people motivated has been more challenging, unfortunately. Right, we thought that was going to be the easy part because we thought, oh, the church will obviously want to do this and we'll just give them some practical solutions.
Right.
And we thought, we're going to be giving people rides in 2 weeks. And that has not been the case because so much of our time has been, no, we really do think the church ought to be doing this. And that's been, and I think it's worth talking about here because it's like, we're not trying to say we think we have a lot of answers, but the answers for how to get there, we're still figuring out too, even though we still have seen and continue to see just how effective the church can be in serving in this way. All that being said, I think we should give an update on just some of the things that we've gotten to do. I mean, we launched the podcast in June and we knew kind of what the idea was. We wanted to tell these stories, that sort of thing. But there's a lot that was happening between when we launched it. Obviously, there's even more since we recorded that first episode. But even since we launched it, a whole lot of things. And I think just giving some updates on some of those things and maybe if there's some particular things that maybe stood out about those moments or things that we feel we should share or just that are exciting to us or motivating to us, I think we should kind of do that. And I think the first place we should start is when we launched, we were wrapping up having our first kind of round of funding. We had been funded by Ballad as a community health initiative organization. And you know, we already talked a little bit about how we kept trying to say, we can't give you concrete numbers. And the thing that I think was great about that funding for that first year was they were letting us kind of find our feet.
Right. They really set us up to get established. We hadn't had that opportunity. We had been piecemealing things together. And so that was a chance to get our footing, get some materials developed, get some trainings created, start trying those out, begin to partner with some community organizations in a concerted way, which we had not been able to do prior to that.
Yeah. And like you said, we started developing some trainings, but even by, you know, March and April, we were beginning to offer some pretty open trainings. We had our first, you know, big open call trauma-informed church training here at our building in downtown Johnson City. We're now calling it the UTC, the Uplift Training Center, obviously. But I mean, just seeing that space kind of slowly morphing into this usable training center location and then actually kind of seeing it come to fruition. We had, you know, people buying tickets to come to a trauma-informed church training and seeing the room filled with people that were excited to learn the things that we were teaching, and lots of great conversations and responses, I think, have kind of come from that.
Right. And then we followed that up not too long after that with our first understanding addiction training. And so it's like those are the two pieces, the trauma and the addiction are the mainstays of our equipping. That can look a lot of different ways for different organizations and for churches versus other organizations and so forth. But those got ready.
Yeah. And I think, you know, taking what we were learning from doing those trainings here, we've actually gotten to take those on the road a little bit that trauma-informed one a lot more, but we think that's kind of a more key entry point for a lot of people. And it's been kind of cool to see, you know, in my days as pastor, it's like you teach a sermon that one time and then you didn't get to practice it and get better at it. But I think it's been kind of cool because, like, as we've been able to do these trainings over and over and over again, I've kind of seen how we've gotten not just better at communicating, but we've learned what things we really need to focus on and highlight for different audiences. And I think it's been leading to some really impactful changes in some people's lives, which I think has been kind of cool to see. Lots, like I said, lots of cool responses and just seeing people get excited about serving in different ways or understanding themselves even better. I mean, that trauma-informed church training, I say it every time we do it. It's like, this is just as impactful for us as it is for the people that we're hopefully teaching it to. And I think every time we do it, especially with one video that I added in there that I'm not going to spoil, you have to come to the training if you're going to see
That's
it,
right.
has been for me really key in kind of tying a lot of things together for me and helping get that kind of practice of loving people in a new way, you know, doing that in a really powerful way for some people and for me as well. So then obviously along that same time, we finally got the podcast launched. And as soon as we did, I mean, it was nice to finally, we realized we can't do this all on our own. So thanks, Tuck, for helping us record, helping us get stuff edited, helping us get stuff out, because that was just a lift that I don't think we were going to be able to do, obviously do on our own. We sat on 3 or 4 really great episodes for like a year and a half while we waited to figure out the time to put it out. And we finally got it out there. And since then, just by starting to ask more people, hey, will you share your experience or will you share your knowledge with us? Because I mean, my whole thing, I wanted to learn. I wanted to better understand the things that we're trying to teach from people that have either experienced it themselves, what worked, what didn't work in their lives, or people who are working in some form with the population that we're wanting to help. And I think there have been so many different points along the way, some of the conversations that we've had that have been really impactful for me. One of them I'll mention, and you might have a couple too, but I just... You know, the passion of the episode that we had with Craig Forrester, I thought was really inspirational for me. Just like that, just hearing how passionate and how much he loves the guys that he works with and seeing that he has this heart. That's his heart is the kind of heart that we're hoping to see in the church. And it's just seeing that was really, it was encouraging for me because it's like, these are the kindred spirits that we're hoping to find.
Well, and also the fact that he had struggled with addiction for quite a while himself and lived it and could speak from that perspective and give a, here is the truth of what has gone on. Here is what people are experiencing. And here now he's in very firm recovery, but yet helping people that are exactly where he was. And just, it gives us this view without having to pry in every individual's life. You come in better prepared. And so I think that is so helpful. Related to that, though, is we've had, you know, physicians on talking about the actual treatment of addiction and what that looks like in our area and so forth.
And knowing that they're facing an uphill battle trying to ask hard questions of a system that thinks it already has everything figured out.
Right, right.
Which is kind of what we're wanting to do too. We're wanting to ask different questions and see if we can get better results.
Right. And I think some of that is you don't know what you don't know. And it's like, if you only think there is this one way to deal with a problem, it's, well, let's deal with it that way and let's do lots of it. Where we're saying, wait, what if we did it a whole different way? That's new. It's new. And so, and again, we said a while ago, we would love to have all the data that says, and look how well it worked. We think so. And we have seen it in bits, but, and we have the cheat codes, which the Bible.
Yeah, we have all the answers. And that's what, which I think in talking to some people too, just seeing how they're confirming a lot of what we're asking. You know, what were some of the things that were working? Well, finding a church community and that sort of thing. You know,
right.
I think some of the testimonies that we've gotten right. has been really encouraging. And we are hoping to get to keep doing more of these and ask more people lots of questions about their life and learn a whole lot more. I think, you know, we'll talk more about what we have coming down soon in just a second. But I know what kinds of questions we're wanting to get to ask of what kinds of people. And hopefully we're going to get some of those lined up soon and we're going to be able to to really rock the boat a little bit, hopefully making a pretty big impact as we ask some of those hard questions too.
And I think some of those earlier podcasts also relate to something else we wanted to talk about here. And that is, we ended up interviewing some of the people who have come here to study us. And I think of China Schurz. I think of Abby Mack. I think of Brett McCarty. So we've got their Notre Dame, formerly UVA. We've got Weber State. We've got Duke University, Duke Theology and Medicine program there. And the reason people have come here to study what we're doing, I think, is because it is unique. It's unfortunate, I think, that it's unique, but the fact that we have, as we always say, we're unabashedly Christian, and it's like we're using scripture to inform everything we do,
And it's so unfortunate that some of what we're doing seems so novel.
Right.
It shouldn't seem novel. It's like we're just trying to tell the church we should just be the church, and things will work out really well when we do things the way that God designed us to. But nobody is really taking this exact approach, specifically targeting addiction and recovery in the way that we are,
right,
in trying to marry the church's work with, you know, this huge crisis that we're seeing. And so, yeah, it's unfortunate, but we're not alone in, we may be the only ones that are doing it exactly this way or that we've been able to find.
Right.
But I do think some of the, you know, we've been able to meet some people along the way. I know we just did an episode kind of talking about your trip to Scotland. You got to go to Scotland and find that there are some like-minded people that are wanting some right. of the same kinds of things, but there's still gaps that they can help us fill here. And there's some things that we can help, you know, supplement for them there. And I think that was super encouraging also. And this was one of the big things that happened earlier in the year as we were getting ready to launch all of this, was we did a pre-conference at a small Bible college, Tri-State Bible College, which is like right in the corner of West Virginia, Kentucky, and Ohio, still part of Appalachia. You don't think of Ohio. I didn't think of Ohio as part of Appalachia, but
it is.
I mean, as soon as you get there, you're like, nope, this is still us. These are still our people. And they had us up just to kind of talk about what Uplift is doing and why we think that an intrinsically motivated church is the answer to so many of the, you know, health crises that we're seeing, specifically talking about trauma and addiction. And, you know, I think that beginning that relationship that we had with them, getting up there and talking to them, meeting with them, was just a super encouraging time for me.
It is. And the president, shout out to Tri-State Bible College, President Rex Howe. He is very passionate and motivated to see pastors, particularly the church, but pastors particularly, trained about trauma and addiction, because he said that it's very rare that pastors or anyone in theological training is getting much at all information on that, yet that is a huge part of what their ministry is going to be. And so he had asked us, he found us because Christianity Today wrote an article about us. I mean, it's like these people that are saying, oh, look what they're doing. This is so different. But he found it, invited us to talk. We talked, went up there, and he said, nobody's doing this and everybody needs this. And that it's both sad but encouraging that the need is seen. And maybe we can help provide some training that meets that need.
Yeah, absolutely. Last of the what we've been doing, I mean, we've gotten to go all over the place talking about different little unique pieces of what we knew. Obviously, Scotland was part of it, but also, I mean, a bunch of different conferences. I got to share my first paper at a fancy conference where I had to wear my little blazer jacket and look all spiffy and talk about things we were doing and hopefully ruffle a few feathers along the way. That kind of thing's old hat for you, but it's been,
right.
it's been pretty unique for me. I was the guy that got drug along when you'd go to conferences to speak, but then I'd just sit in my hotel room, you know, watching Nickelodeon or whatever as a kid. And now it's like, we're going and doing these things together. And I think it's been really cool to get to present. You know, I think it's so interesting. It's not surprising, I guess, is what I'm saying. You know, you have all those places in the Bible where it says, you know, and it just so happened, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning it wasn't coincidence. God was orchestrating this all the time. But it just so happens that every single conference that we're at all interested in going to, their themes keep being things like, what if Uplift Appalachia existed and they wanted to talk to us exactly about what they're doing?
Right.
Like, and I don't mean that like they're not actively thinking of us, but the questions that people are starting to ask nationally in all these different various organizations, and we're talking like the Conference on Medicine and Religion, Duke's Practice and Presence Conference. What is the CMDA? That's the Christian Medical Dental Association. You know, all these different organizations that are kind of this merging of medical recovery, Christianity, all of this kind of coming together are asking the same kinds of questions. How are we going to reach the people that are being forgotten, and how ought the church be thinking about it? And these are the kinds of questions that we keep trying to answer ourselves and trying to say, we think we have an answer to that. So it keeps working out really well for us that they're like, we want to have a conference. We want people to talk about stuff. Hey, can you talk about exactly what you guys are becoming experts in?
Right. Right. Yes. Yes.
So, yeah. So it's been cool to get to kind of see that stuff get out there and just continue to have some of those conversations ongoing. So that's just a little bit of an update as to what we've been doing kind of in the present tense, just as an update of some ongoing stuff. You know, our whole mission has been to motivate and equip the church to help address addiction. And we're really excited that one of the churches that we've been working with for a while now, trying to help get them trained and equipped and ready to go, is finally, you know, kind of all in, ready to get started. They're having their first official event as kind of an Uplift trained, you know, church starting this week as we're recording this. Right. It will have just happened by the time this comes out. But we're just really excited to see that churches are now, you know, starting to step out a little bit. We've got a few other churches that are working their way through. Again, we're really antsy and motivated to get things going now, but we know that it's not always the timing that we want. But as long as it's happening, we got a few churches that are kind of slowly working their way through some of the different trainings and trying to explore what this could look like. But it's cool to see that we're finally getting to that point now. All that funding to let us kind of get prepared,
right,
is now kind of coming to fruition as we're seeing churches begin to step out and take it on themselves. Like, these aren't, we're not talking like this is an Uplift sponsored event.
Right.
This is a church that
is the church
is meeting a need with a group of people who are in recovery and are trying to just minister to them and bless them in any way that they can and begin building relationships with them. So I'm really encouraged by that.
Right. Right. To see it happen.
Finally getting to see it happen, which is very exciting. So that being said, let's talk just a little bit about some stuff that we have coming up. Like, what are the, and by a few things that we have coming up, I mean, our calendar is absolutely packed. We have all kinds of things going on. We are not going to be able to talk in detail about everything, but I do think we want to highlight just kind of how God's continued to bless us and kind of continue to say, you're on the right track, keep going as an organization, and what that's kind of looked like. We talked a little bit about how we had that funding from Ballad. That funding ended at the end of last fiscal year, but at the same time, we were able to start some new funding through some partnerships with a couple of different organizations. So one, obviously, you're very interested and involved in, that's the SBI. Why don't you talk a little bit about what the SBI is? I'm sure we've mentioned it on here before, but maybe talk a little about what the SBI is and then kind of what our relationship with SBI is meant to look like going forward.
Okay. So the SBI is the ETSU Ballad Health Strong Brain Institute, which is a research institute at ETSU, East Tennessee State University, where I work. I'm a psych professor there, and I am an associate director of the SBI. And what it is focused on is teaching about adverse childhood experiences and trauma-informed care and trauma-informed principles and practices and building resilience and all of that from more of a secular perspective. But I was able to... Tennessee has opioid abatement funding, which comes from opioid settlements with drug companies. And so there's a lot of funding across the state to try to address addiction and all of the things that go along with that. And I wrote a grant on behalf of the SBI partnering with Uplift. So yes, they're kind of both me. But and this need that we saw, this liaising between the healthcare community and the church, we kept finding ourselves doing that. And so what we got funding to do was develop trainings, cross trainings for both churches and community organizations and clinics and so forth to share the same language so that we can build trust, reduce stigma, from the church toward people in addiction, from people that are not familiar with the church toward the church, and so forth, so that that will help groups to partner together. And so we are building materials, creating trainings, delivering trainings, and evaluating those trainings to just to help equip folks in understanding addiction and understanding the roots of addiction, maybe trauma, the how to do applied programs, how to increase sustainability, and cross training, same language with both of those groups.
Yeah. All those things that we said, we find ourselves needing to help communicate between these two. We're now being funded to do just that, which is awesome. At the same time, we also, same thing, Opioid Abatement Council funding. We're kind of written into another grant. So we're kind of not double dipping, but we're being incorporated for different reasons from two different organizations. We're also partnering with the First Tennessee Development District to actually get to do so. So the SBI funding, I think, is cool because it lets us kind of, like you said, cross train. We're going to connect organizations with churches and give them similar language. But when Uplift was started, we were really wanting to help get people from one place to another physically, like giving people rides. And this grant that we got written into with First Tennessee Development District is finally going to let us do exactly that. So talk a little bit about what that partnership's going to look like.
Sure. So we've been partnering with First Tennessee Development District for a couple of years. They have wanted to write us into grants. We are in one right now, a transportation planning grant that we were not funded for, but we've partnered with in order to go for additional funding in the future with the Appalachian Regional Commission to look at transportation for people in recovery, for people coming out of jail. So we've been working with them for quite a while. And what we did is last year when opioid abatement funding grant call came out, they wrote us in for if they got funded for this project they want to do, that we would provide the transportation. And so it because many times we have said we want to do this, but nobody has said we'll pay you to be able to do this. And so they wrote us in for a staff person and for a finite way to start that. And we mentioned the podcast with Craig Forrester. He is one of the directors at Recovery Resources, which is a sober living housing for people. And this is a program that will help to train people who are housed in their housing. And so we will be providing transportation for this particular population, but they're... It's written in a way that we can develop it so that we'll be providing transportation and gradually it will become church volunteers doing that, which is what we've wanted along.
Which is what we've always wanted. It's like, yes, we have funding to get somebody to get us off the ground, get us organized, probably even give a couple rides here and there. Mm-hmm. But it really is now when people say, what can we do? And we say, we have a group of however many guys. We don't know exactly how many guys it's going to be yet. So this could be, it could start small, it could start huge, but it may be one of those, we're ready now to say, we need some people just to give somebody a ride to their classes and get back home at the end of the day. And as you do that, you're going to get to build a relationship with a guy who's in recovery, and you're going to get to show him what it looks like to be a part of a community, all of these sorts of things. It's actually going to get to happen now, right? Which is exactly what we want. So when you hear from us coming up soon, if you're... We're going to be saying, who's ready to start driving? And you're going to say, but I don't know how. And we'll say, well, we'll help you get there.
Right.
So right. we're going to be, again, it's going to help us equip the people that are giving rides, but also mandate. Like we've needed the have to.
Yeah.
We keep talking about wanting to, but now we have to, and it's going to happen. And we're very excited because we know we've seen in our own lives, at our own church plant, for 8.5 years, how effective just giving somebody a ride from one place to another can be in building a relationship and helping them find some stability in their own lives.
Right. And meet that practical need. It really is a practical need that we're meeting. And it's not like we just need to build the relationship in sort of some abstract way. We can meet the practical need and build the relationship at the same time. And that's a beautiful thing.
And we've already promised ahead of time that the church is going to be really good at this. So Right. You are representing the church
Let's do
it. Let's go do it. yeah. So we're really excited about that. Now, that being said, that funding with the SBI and with First Tennessee Development District is just funding our efforts here in Northeast Tennessee. All of that funding can only be used there. So, but at the same time, we're still really excited. We get to continue partnering with the Virginia Rural Health Association.
Right.
They're going to continue to help us, you know, sponsor some trainings and things in the Southwest Virginia area and continue to just put on some different events and just continue to be a resource for us as we want to continue to do work in Virginia. We're no longer going to be able to continue our work in Virginia when that funding that we had last year through the Community Health Initiative was kind of ended. So we're excited to get to keep doing that work in Virginia now. God's been very faithful to keep us working there. And same thing, we've been building some relationships with some organizations in some counties in North Carolina that looks a little bit different right now because, I mean, we got to, like, as we're recording this, we're still recovering as a region from Hurricane Helene. And so what training people to deal with trauma in their lives looks like has drastically shifted in the last few weeks for a lot of people. And we're still working with people to kind of figure out what's the best way that we as an organization, we as the church, can help continue that effort to respond to those needs in North Carolina specifically. And I think it's worth saying we've been really encouraged to see how effective the church can be when it gets itself mobilized to respond to a crisis just like this. And we've seen a lot of good come out of the church's response. And we want to not capitalize on a disaster by any means, but take the things that we've seen and learn from what was it that made the church so effective and continue to use that as we try to, you know, motivate and equip the church to continue its efforts as we're helping people that are struggling with addiction and finding recovery and all that. And I think we're going to probably put out some more content on that coming up soon. So stay tuned on that. But just to mention, we know that's going on and we obviously want to be there for people. We also want to be there for people in a way that is going to be helpful to them and not just, you know, riding in as a white knight, shining in our armor and saying, we're here to help, but we want to actually help people in a way that's going to be what they need and have lasting effect and that sort of thing. I think the last thing that I really want to make sure we get to mention as we're kind of wrapping up everything that's happened this fall and looking toward the future, one of the things that I am most excited about that we're going to get to do soon, going back to, we talked about beginning a relationship with Tri-State Bible College. We went back up there, you know, just within the last week as of the recording of this, and we got to meet with some folks, and you already talked about how their president is very excited to see pastors getting equipped in their understanding of trauma and addiction, because they're going to be dealing with it, especially pastors that are in that tri-state area, that are in Central Appalachia, just like we are. Like every pastor ought to be equipped to respond to trauma and addiction, these sorts of things. And they want to make that part of their actual curriculum, and they want us as Uplift Appalachia and us as individuals to kind of help make that happen on an official kind of college level for pastors that are in training.
We're going to be developing some curriculum, and we're going to be starting with a class on trauma for folks that do counseling and shepherding within churches as a class, probably this coming spring. And we as faculty there. And then
I'm going to go buy myself a blazer with elbow patches as soon as I can. It needs to happen.
But then working toward maybe even having a certificate of some sort, like a 7-course certificate that anyone could add on that includes this addiction, trauma, and so forth, and particularly in Appalachia, because that is, and from a Christian perspective,
in the first place, why we should be motivated to do this. I we talk about it all the time, this finding this intrinsic motivation as best we can. And there's a reason that we called this podcast Intrinsically Motivated, because that's the place that we all kind of want to be, to find ourselves as the church. And I think we're going to have to do a good job of helping establish that, you know, biblical foundation upon which we can build off on this type of ministry that we want to do going forward, that sort of thing. So I'm really excited. Everything I have heard from our time in talking with them up at Tri-State has been very encouraging. It's not just because they want us to come work there with them, and it's not just because they want to let me say that I'm a faculty member at an accredited university and all those things. You've gotten to say that for a long time, but now I get to say it too. So you're not even that special over me anymore. But like the fact that we get to, everything I hear is just so encouraging. Every time I go up there, the things that I hear they're working toward and the things that they want to do. I mean, it's not often that you get to go sit down with the leaders of a whole college and you just feel like you're on the same page with them as far as mission and purpose and theology. It's just, it's very encouraging. So yes, we're going to get, hopefully get to do some teaching with them soon. Yes, it's one more thing we're putting on our plate, but hopefully it's going to be something that we're going to continue to see grow. And then we're going to have a whole generation of pastors that come along behind this that understand all these things and are now infusing it into the life of the church in Appalachia. So, you know, we may be teaching ourselves out of a job, but that would be awesome if we get to teach ourselves out of a job because it so becomes a part of the life of the church.
Right, right. And I do want to shout out, I would love to drive people to their college because I do trust their theology so thoroughly. But also, they have a podcast called Level Paths, which I also would love to endorse here too because they have some great content and a similar heart to what we do for Appalachia particularly.
Yeah. And we'll definitely make sure we have a link to their podcast in the description for the show notes for this episode. So definitely go check that out. They're great. They were very kind to have us on their podcast. Hopefully maybe even by next season, we can have them on here or as we get to announce more officially what this stuff's going to look like, maybe we can get some stuff out together with Tri-State. That'll be really exciting. So, what are you most emotionally connected to that you have seen, experienced, done? What when you're thinking back through, and I'll try to share the same thing, but I'm just curious. Like, I like to ask these kind of deep internal questions when I do interviewing, and I'm just like we talk a lot about the ins and outs when we meet every week, and we talk about what do we have to do next, and it's usually what's the next presentation, what's the next meeting, but as you think back through just these last 6 months. You know, I've been away from my full-time 9-to-5 sort of thing for a year and a half almost now. But just in these last 6 months, I feel like a lot has changed. A lot has happened. What has sat there with you? What's something you've been most connected to? And then maybe I'll try to share something similar.
So I'm going to share something that may surprise even you. And you can interview me as an interview guest. Because it really has solidified in the last couple of weeks. But, I've gone back and forth being frustrated at times by sort of the slowness of churches to get started. And we commiserate about that. And I've seen that, but in the process of, this most recent church onboarding, one of the things that the pastor was so, I don't even want to say adamant about, concerned about. I'll say concerned. It's like when people think addiction treatment and recovery and all this, there's a lot of medical material out there. And he was very concerned that the evangelical salvation piece would be maybe not lost, but lost in the mud. You know, it's like it's just another piece of it as opposed to
primary motivating
factor. As opposed to the primary thing. And so we were very, as we built materials, very upfront and specific about that piece. Also, when I was in Scotland, I'm just gonna tie a bunch of things together here, there was one organization that the fellow didn't even want to talk to me because I was a psychologist. And it was a funny story about how I ended up getting to Zoom with him. But he did because I heard him on a podcast. Our theology lined up so much. I said, I've got to talk to this guy. I talked to him. Didn't find out till after that he didn't want to talk to me, but he ended up being okay talking to me. But I didn't know that was a thing, or I might not have pursued him so much. But he said, I want to make so certain that people are that that is central, that it is biblical. It is, there are spiritual answers, and it gets lost. And so it's like this kept coming at me. And then only recently, and this is where it gets new to you because you don't know this, I have reevaluated some people that I, one of the things that I do is I keep current with what we do. I walk with people in this stuff, and there are times where it's not so vividly happening, but recently it's like, I was praying, God, I feel like I'm so removed, and don't ever pray that unless you want it, because it has come from every direction. But as I have been walking with a particular person in this, I just reexamined, you know, it's almost like the fear that people have about trauma-informed care and being trauma-informed. It's like, oh, you're going to coddle people, or, oh, you're going to use that as an excuse. And all of those things we rebut when we talk, and we do our trainings and so forth. But I was thinking, I am looking through that lens and I am trying to be kind, but there comes a point where it's like, I have just got to give you truth from scripture. You're not hearing me, and it's because I care so much for your soul that I need to bring us back to this. And it might make you mad, and it might seem unkind. It really is not from that point. And so this is with a particular person, but it's like challenging me through going through that whole process with that church, challenging me and my actual relationship with somebody to come back to what the real thing is. And I'm in the middle of it right now, but I just want to say that it's like, there's the teaching it, but there's the practicing what you're teaching and challenging yourself with the things that other people have challenged us about. And it gives great fodder for future lessons, but it also is so meaningful at the time. It's like, no, we have an answer, and it is a specific
answer. And it's really encouraging to hear that. Cause I, like you said, we say a lot of this stuff. We say all of this stuff at some point in our trainings. You know, one of our big take homes, and a lot of times when you hear us talk, we're going to talk about, you know, a good, better, best
right.
kind of thing. You know, good being, we want you in connection with people, better in connection with the faith community. And when we say the faith community, that's a euphemism for the church, Christians. But best is still that relationship with your Creator, knowing Jesus. And it does seem easy sometimes to get busy in the day-to-day, the little details, the what do we need to knows. And so the fact that it's like you really do believe the things you're saying. You're not just saying because it sounds good or you think it'll land well with the church. You're saying it because you believe it, and you're able to then justifiably reinforce with the churches that you're working with and saying, no, we're not losing the big picture. All of this is the big picture. It's just, we're trying to get people there is really encouraging. Yeah. I like that.
So what is yours?
Well, as I was thinking through, how are we going to tie all this together? What have we seen? What have we done? What has happened? What have we learned? I mean, I think to me, the thing that I'm most excited about after a lot of it comes from some of the conversations we've had, even just doing this podcast, you know, one of the things that I said when we started this was, I feel like I need to learn more. I know what my life has been. And I talk about this in our trainings a lot, and it always makes you very proud. Like when we talk about adverse childhood experiences, I didn't have any of those. Like I did not experience the trauma that so many people have. I recognize my lack of trauma, and I recognize that there's a whole lot that I'm not going to understand from a first person perspective. You know, there's a lot of experiences that I've developed by building relationships with people during our time at our church or whatever that may be. But just being able to learn from people, talking to them on this podcast, people that have been through some of the worst possible experiences you can have, and seeing how effective the church can be has been really encouraging to me. Talking to some people, even who aren't necessarily coming from a purely Christian perspective, you know, some people from the medical field or from the science community, and just hearing how even people who are not necessarily saved, because we're not exclusively saying you have to be, you know, a Bible-believing Christian who's going to be on this podcast, you know, just hearing from some people, the things that they've learned or the things that they've observed as they have kind of taken a closer look at what we think the church can be for people who are in recovery, and seeing how they've been affected by the power of the church being the church has been, in a good and bad way, really motivating for me. In a good way, in that, yes, everything the Bible says really does work. That's always going to be very encouraging. In a negative way, in that it makes me that much more kind of amped up and antsy to see this happening on a much grander scale. And I know I don't get to dictate the timeline, but, you know, we use this phrase, an intrinsically motivated church, all the time. And that's why it became the name for the podcast, is intrinsically motivated, because, you know, we want people to, on the inside, like in their gut, feel like they have to be a part of this in some way, whether it's actually giving somebody a ride, or whether it's just supporting and loving the people who are giving somebody a ride, or whether it's praying for the people who are actively giving people a ride, or praying that God would send more people to give somebody a ride, or whatever it may be. We want people to, on the inside, just need to be a part of this in some way. And so it's like, by learning the science and saying, wow, God created us this way, obviously, if we live this way, it's going to work. And also hearing from people whose lives have been changed by the power of the Holy Spirit and through the work of the church. It's like, yes, this works. We should want, like, the whole point was that we'd want the church to become motivated for it, but it's only kind of doubled down that same desire within me to see it happen. And so, yeah, I, like you said, we commiserate sometimes about how it's not necessarily happening at the rate that we wish it would, but that hasn't left me feeling less motivated, only actually a little bit more motivated, and feeling like there's more for us to say, there's more for us to do, there's more for me personally to kind of sit back and pray, God, you know, what's the next thing? How do you want me to proceed? Like you said, like, I feel disconnected. What's the next thing? Like, praying that God would show you the next thing. He'll show you.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm kind of in that place right now where it's like, how are we going to go forward? And I think some of that's going to continue to be, we're going to keep this podcast going. We're going to talk to more people. We're going to learn more. We're going to hear more stories, but we're also going to try to speak to the things that we've learned along the way and hopefully do even more to help motivate and equip not only ourselves, but the rest of the church as well. And so that may take some different forms. That may be more storytelling. That may be more individual stuff coming out on this podcast feed or other podcast feeds. You never know. But the big thing is that we're really trying to find ways to confidently say to the church, this is it. This is what we should be doing in our everyday life. Maybe your church isn't going to start a specific type of addiction recovery program. We're not saying that it necessarily has to.
Right.
But just to be motivated to love people in the way that we were called to, I think there's so much growth that we as the church can do. And so I am super encouraged by a lot of what I've seen God do through Uplift, not because of Uplift, but literally through Uplift. Like, he's accomplished a lot in spite of our own limitations and the things that we think we know that we're still learning. But he's also revealed some areas where he really has given us some understanding and some areas where we can be experts, and he's given us kind of the confidence to speak out. And so I think that for me is kind of what my biggest take home in the last little bit has been for us. So I'm really encouraged by the things that God is doing through Uplift Appalachia. I'm really hopeful for the future. I'm excited about some of the big things that we're starting to get to talk about now. We hopefully will get to give even more, you know, specific, concrete announcements about that coming up soon. But yeah, I'm really excited that we can take all these things we know and hopefully, like I said, really become intrinsically motivated to do these things. So I'm excited about what's coming up.
Intrinsically Motivated is an Uplift Appalachia podcast. Uplift Appalachia seeks to replace addiction and mental health challenges with flourishing, and we believe that an intrinsically motivated church is the answer. To learn more, visit upliftappalachia.org.